Football on Off the Ball.
So he brought Max Damon on, who's not 16 until December, by the way. It's sort of ridiculous. I can't really explain it, to see a 15-year-old come on and do what he did.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Monday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from a feisty Ruben Amorim as Manchester United suffered an opening day defeat to Arsenal. We look ahead to Leeds United's return to the Premier League tonight when they take on Everton. And Stephen Kenny praises his side after a huge win for St Patrick's Athletic in the FAI Cup. But first to events at Old Trafford yesterday and News Talk's feature commentary game. Arsenal defeated Manchester United by a 1-0 after Ricardo Calafiori bundled the ball home after Manchester United goalkeeper Altay Bayinder flapped at a corner. Last season's number one, Andre Onana, was left out of the matchday squad and many pundits and ex-pros were quick to criticise Bayinder. But United head coach Ruben Amorim offered this retort in Sunday's press conference to Manchester Evening News reporter Samuel Luckhurst when he quizzed as to why perhaps third choice Tom Heaton wasn't given a start.
Ruben, did you give any consideration to start Tom Heaton ahead of Altay? Because he's conceded a goal similar to that before.
Why?
I think a lot of people might argue that Tom's a better keeper than him, with more experience in the Premier League.
But he suffered a goal like this where? Without VAR. With VAR is a foul. And then what happened in the next game?
Okay, may I ask?
What happened in the next game?
At Wolves.
No, not at Wolves. The next one, Arsenal. Who saved the penalty? Who saved the game, all the game?
That was a penalty.
No. Before the penalty. You don't remember the game. I remember the game. Altay was unbelievable in that game. So I consider everything to put one on another, and I choose Altay.
And on the Sunday kickback, former Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy told Nathan Murphy that it's perhaps too early to say whether Manchester United have turned a corner or not.
A sense that they've turned the corner, that the investment that they've made has brought the requisite levels of quality?
It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I don't think it can be as bad as it was last season for Manchester United. I think they'll get top half. I think top six is probably a little bit too much of a push. But given how strong the rest of the Premier League is, if United were to finish the 7th and 8th and 9th, I think that's probably in around par for them. And people would say with the 200 million that they spent at the top end of the pitch, they should demand more. The middle of the pitch is a big, big issue for me. The shades of the old United, but it does look better. It looks like there's more shape on it, and yeah, they look like a top half team to me, but I don't think they're going to be pushing for the European race.
And today we didn't really see that front three in action. Šeško comes on for the last sort of 25 minutes, doesn't get too involved in the game. But Kunja and Mbeumo, actually the one thing that was lacking was Šeško in the first half when United were at their attacking best. Those two seem to have settled in very quickly.
Yeah, there were some lovely touches from Cunha. Ball got wrapped into him and he controls it with the inside of his right foot and spins. Little pirouette, gets away from people. Nice little nutmeg throughout the game. Not an awful lot of goal mouth action from Cunha, but Mbeumo was the one who really got my ears pricked up. I thought, this boy looks like he can do a bit.
So, as the famous chant goes, 1-0 to the Arsenal. The Gunners begin their season in positive fashion. It was a first look at new striker Victor Gyökeres, who was quiet in a largely toothless Arsenal attacking performance. He was hooked after an hour in favour of Kai Havertz. Head coach Mikel Arteta said that the result mattered more than the performance.
Big results coming first game of the season at Old Trafford. When you feel that they are building something special, momentum with the new signings, and they want to kick on the season in a good way, and you are able to come away with the win, I think very happy and proud of the team.
Keith Andrews' start to life as Brentford boss was as difficult as you would expect. They were beaten 3-1 by Nottingham Forest at the City Ground. Chris Wood scored two first-half goals, whilst Dan Ndoye netted on his debut to put the result beyond doubt at the break. Brazilian striker Thiago scored from the penalty spot to make the scoreline look a little more respectable, but it was a Sunday to forget for the Irish contingent of Andrews, Nathan Collins and Quevin Kelleher. Andrews says that his side needs to go back to basics, but at least they made the second half slightly more bearable.
Pride has to kick in. I think it's easy to say you can go and do that and show that. That's not always the case. The game is realistically away from me at that stage. And I think it's about coming away from here with exactly that pride, something to build on.
And on the Sunday kickback, former Republic of Ireland manager Brian Kerr told Stephen Doyle that it's still early days yet for Andrews.
Looking at Brentford, really a disastrous start for Keith Andrews, that first 45 minutes anyway. What would you think he got wrong there today?
He will have found out today. When you've got to make the decisions yourself, you can get help from your staff and so on, but you ultimately you're the one to make the decisions in advance of the game. I don't know his players as well as he does, but I think he made some mistakes in terms of the balance of the team didn't look right. The two central midfield players were off it a bit, I thought. Henderson added something when he came on, and Onyeka as well too. When he came on, he gave him a bit more, certainly Kevin Chadwick, who seemed, may have been carrying an injury, that's probably why he didn't start. But you know, some of the newer players didn't do too well, didn't adapt to the physicality of the Premier League on their first outing. The back four were, as I said earlier, too predictable in possession. Nathan Collins wasn't one of his better games by any means, and Van der Berg beside him was poor. Kevin Keller had a very mixed day. He didn't make any saves today, but his failure to catch the ball at times is unsettling, and some of his distribution was quite poor, which is most unlike him. But that's, you know, the difference playing for Brentford, maybe playing for Liverpool on the first day of the season. There'd be plenty of time to improve on what they did today. At least the second half was better for them. Today wasn't impressive, but it's very, very early.
New signings Omari Hutchinson and James McAtee were paraded in front of the Forest faithful. However, boss Nuno Espirito Santo says that the squad still need strengthening.
I think we don't have to prove nothing to nobody. It's how we do things. And just a game of football, it doesn't mean anything. It's finished now. We have to prepare for the next one. Of course, I think the confidence of the players is good.
Eberechi Eze had a magnificent free kick, ruled out by VAR as Crystal Palace were held to a scoreless draw away to Chelsea. Eze's strike was chalked off as Mark Gahey broke the 1 metre infringement from the wall. But perhaps the futures of trio, Eze, Gahey and Adam Wharton, are the most pressing concerns for the Eagles. Boss Oliver Glasner was pleased with his side's application despite the incessant rumours.
I watch the players every single day in the training sessions. We meet them. And again, if everything or most of the things that are written about them is true, they couldn't perform like this. The team couldn't be together like this.
Chelsea boss Enzo Maresca says he's not panicking after starting the Premier League with a goalless draw. The summer's Club World Cup winners are being tipped for a title challenge. Maresca says his focus is their next London derby with West Ham.
I said many times that I don't think about June or May when the title of the season will finish. I always try to speak or try to think about the next one, the next game. So for me, it's just about now. It's about Friday game, no more than that.
Meanwhile, on Monday's Off the Ball Breakfast, alongside Cullen Buhig and Ger Gilroy, Jonathan Wilson said this.
And who did you on Friday afternoon have to win the Premier League this season? And am I right in saying it was Chelsea?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, so it's beginning to reconsider that. I mean, the oddity of that game yesterday was the concern I had over them wasn't going forward. It was, is the goalkeeper good enough?
Yeah.
And I think the Eze ruled out goal, you would question Robert Sanchez on that. He gets away with it because of, I mean, I actually just thought it was a push. I think maybe they need another centre-back. But I thought going forward they'd be fine. And actually, they were incredibly flat.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the big disappointment for Chelsea. That, yeah, Chelsea fans got very frustrated with Enzo Maresca last season because of the flatness of so many displays. And I sort of slightly was of the opinion that if they'd had a better centre-forward, if they'd had, you know, a real sort of predatory striker, and I say this with a degree of sympathy to Nicholas Jackson because I think he was asked to do an impossible job. I think he was overpromoted. It's not his fault. He should have been brought three more slowly. He arrived at Chelsea and played 16 games in La Liga. And I don't like the sort of mockery and sort of finger pointing at him. But equally, had they had a more clinical striker, I think there's a lot of games where they'd been ahead within 20 minutes, half an hour. Suddenly the atmosphere of the game changes. You're passing the ball about as a, you know, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're watching them passing the ball about, think it's fine. We're 1-0 up, that's 3 points. When you're doing that at 0-0, it's quite frustrating. Equally, opponents will have to come out, there'll be space behind them, something that Nicholas Jackson will be very good at exploiting. Look at the pace they've got in wide areas. And I thought as soon as they start scoring that early goal, because they've got Leon Delap or because they've got João Pedro, they'll be fine. But they still couldn't score that goal. And you look at Cole Palmer and you think, well, it's 8 months since he scored a goal from open play in the league, which doesn't make any sense.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Everton manager David Moyes is urging his attacking players to take their chance and retain the jersey by making a strong start to the Premier League season. New signings Jack Grealish, Kieran Dewsbury-Hull and Charlie Alcaraz are fighting for their starting positions alongside Dwight McNeil and Illiman Ndiaye. Moyes is happy to have options ahead of their opening match against Leeds tonight.
If there's anything we've been missing really from what we've had over the last year or so, it's goals scored, goals created. So hopefully the creative players that you've mentioned there will help me up the numbers.
Leeds United make their return to the Premier League after two seasons in the second tier of English football. Dominic Calvert-Lewin could make his debut for the hosts against his former club. Manager Daniel Farke knows that many people will expect them to be in a relegation battle.
We have our clear idea how we want to survive and how we want to be successful. But who am I that I will give you right now more or less a blueprint what is necessary to survive? I'm a big believer. It's not like you have to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk.
St Patrick's Athletic booked their spot in the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup last night thanks to a 2-0 win over Shelburne at Richmond Park. Mason Melia scored a poacher's goal before Chris Forrester scored from the penalty spot just after the break to put the result to bed. Pat's head coach Stephen Kenny praised his side's showing after they travelled back from Istanbul midweek.
Get back on Friday and then play today, so it's been a real, real, real punishing schedule, and we've got five of our better players injured at the moment, so it was a real test of our squad, and I thought it showed tremendous guts and real determination to get through this fatigue, and a brilliant win.
And speaking to Off the Ball's Jonathan Higgins, Shell's boss Joey O'Brien rued his side's defending along with their inability to take their chances.
Thought second half, I've just changed it a little bit. Again here, it's giving away a poor penalty, like wide set play, not defending the fourth cross, going and attacking him. Obviously then, 2-0, it's a hard day. Hard job to turn around, especially here, but again, thought we had chances, got back into the game, didn't take our chances.
Next up for Shelburne is a huge clash at home to Linfield in the playoff round of the Europa Conference League on Thursday, whilst St Pat's travel north up the M1 to take on Drogheda United in the league on Friday. Shamrock Rovers came through a tense affair at Tallaght Stadium last night after they stumbled over the line to beat Longford Town 2-1 thanks to strikes from the penalty spot from John McGovern and Graham Burke. Rovers' attention will now turn to taking on Portuguese side Santa Clara in the Azores on Thursday, whilst Town are in Tralee on Friday night to take on Kerry in the First Division. A man arrested over alleged racist abuse towards Bournemouth's Antoine Semenyo has been released on bail. The forward reported comments made during his side's 4-2 defeat to Liverpool in the Premier League opener on Friday. A 47-year-old has been ordered not to attend any football match in the UK or go within 1 mile of a stadium as the investigation continues. Not only was it in England, but the top divisions in Spain and France also got underway at the weekend. Last night, Atletico Madrid were defeated 2-1 by Espanyol away from home, despite a magnificent Julian Alvarez free kick. Athletic Club defeated Sevilla at San Mamés 3-2. Nico Williams scored from the penalty spot, whilst also setting up the winner for Robert Navarro. In France, European champions Paris Saint-Germain began the defence of their Ligue 1 title thanks to a 1-0 win away to Nantes. And in the Netherlands, Troy Parrott scored his 9th goal of the season so far, but it wasn't enough for the 3 points, as AZ Alkmaar were held to a 2-2 draw away to Volendam. And if you're wondering how Brazil forward Neymar is getting on, he left the field in tears last night after Santos suffered a 6-0 home defeat by Vasco da Gama. The loss was the biggest of Neymar's career, and it was the first time that Santos have conceded 6 goals at home in a Brazilian Serie A match. The A-time champions are 2 points above the relegation zone, and coach Kleber Xavier was sacked hours after Sunday's game. Former Liverpool and Aston Villa forward Philippe Coutinho scored twice as Vasco claimed their first win in 6 league games and their biggest league win in 17 years. Santos won 5 of Xavier's 15 games in charge and are just 2 places above the relegation zone, just a place higher than Vasco, who were lifted out of the bottom 4 after Sunday's win. Santos won promotion back to the Brazilian top flight last November after spending a year in Serie B following their first ever relegation. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.